What we usually say is the anointing is not the anointing. In the original text, the word anoint means to smear. If you lived in Israel in the time of the Old Testament, you would have known that the word anoint is a very common word. It is not a holy word. If someone was putting butter on their bread, they were anointing the bread with butter. If a child wanted their mother to put butter on his bread, he'd say, "Mom, would you please anoint my bread with butter?" And somebody says, "Oh, how could you dare use that holy word in regard to a piece of bread and some butter?" Because it's not a holy word. Technically, it was a very, very common word. When a shepherd would put oil on the sheep's head to keep the sheep from having flies bothering it, they would anoint the sheep. That's what the 23rd Psalm tells us. He anoints my head with oil. It didn't say He anoints me with the power of the Holy Spirit. It says He anoints me with oil. He anoints me. What is the anointing? It is a marking. When you have been anointed, when you have had that smearing upon you, you are marked. You're marked. Now the thing we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is drawn to the anointing. Jesus said in this passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me." Why is the Spirit of the Lord on me? Because I'm marked, and He's attracted to that anointing. He's attracted to the marking that is upon my life. And therefore, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon me because He's drawn to the anointing, the marking that is on my life. Does that make sense to you? Look back at the text that we read about David being anointed in 1 Samuel.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled, "Marked by the Anointing," which is part of the Spiritual Growth series.
And when a situation comes into our lives that seems to be overwhelming, that seems to be more than what we are capable of handling, what we need to remind ourselves is, the Lord is my shepherd. And that means that if He is my shepherd, and if this situation has come into my life, that means He knowingly watched it come in and said, even though this sheep doesn't feel that they are capable of dealing with this situation, I know that they are. And the Bible promises us that God will not allow any situation to come into our lives that we're not capable of handling with His help. Amen? So therefore, when we see those situations, those crises happening and developing in our lives, we need to always remind ourselves, the Lord's my shepherd. He allowed this. The shepherd could have prevented this. The shepherd knew this was coming. He saw it coming. He could have prevented this, but He allowed this. It was a statement of, I guess you'd say, a good kind of pride when David said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what I mean by the good kind of pride? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. When David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he was boasting. Why? Because the thing that a sheep can be the most proud of is who's taking care of it. Because that's its whole future, is who's taking care of it. So when he said, the Lord is my shepherd, he was saying, hey, the most compassionate, the most powerful, the most creative being in all the universe is the one who takes care of me. But in there, what I found was that the shepherd uses the rod as a symbol of his authority. The rod is basically an extension of the shepherd's arm.
And it's a symbol of His authority. It's a symbol that He is in charge. Because later on in this message, we're going to talk about how that the shepherd uses the rod to protect his flock and defend them against predators. And we're also going to talk about how the shepherd uses the rod to reprimand and discipline sheep who go astray. So it's a symbol of authority. And if you remember when Moses was hesitant about going before Pharaoh. And he said, Lord, I need a symbol that I can show to Pharaoh that shows that Your authority is flowing through me. I need something that I can use to show Pharaoh that You have called me and I have Your authority upon me. And God said, what do you have in your hand? And he said, I have a rod in my hand. As I studied this, I found that one of the writers I studied said that there are four basic needs that must be met in order for a sheep to be able to be so at ease, so at peace, so at rest that he can lie down. I didn't think much about it. He said, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I thought He just took him out there and said, lay down. That's what I do with my dog. Lay down. He lays down. But you can't do that with sheep. Because they're very complex in their nervous system. Now, from what I understand, their brains are not quite as complex as their nervous system. Are you drawing any comparisons to Christians yet? All right, anyway. But because they are so nervous, because they're so easily irritated, there are four basic, or at least this writer said that there were four basic needs that must be met for the sheep in order for them to be able to be at rest enough to lie down, to be at ease. You say, why would you want them to lie down anyway? It seems that you'd want them to be up walking around and moving around so they could get their exercise. They'll get enough exercise. The problem is that if they don't get enough rest, if they don't get enough sleep, their bodies will not be able to develop properly and they won't be able to digest their food properly. How many of you ever heard of a nervous stomach? That was invented by sheep, all right? They just don't know about Maalox, all right? So, sheep will not be able to properly digest their food unless they're at rest, unless they're able to lie down after they eat and rest and allow their digestive system to do its thing, you know, and digest the food. Now, the first of those four needs, they all begin with it. Well, they didn't begin with an F. I made them all begin with an F. Now, some of the words have very unusual spellings, but they all begin with an F. No, but the first need that must be met in the sheep is fear. They must be free from fear.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled, The Lord is My Shepherd, which is part of the Spiritual Growth series.
I want to tell you something. One of the hardest things about preaching on pride is that immediately two things happen. Number one is everyone assumes that whoever's preaching on pride is preaching it because he thinks he's already there, which then means that you're not there, because if you were there, you wouldn't be saying you were there, because then you would not be proud of the fact that you were there, and you wouldn't be letting everyone know that you were proud. I mean, humble. I mean, that you had arrived. I mean, that you had it all together. I mean, that no, you don't really want to say that you have it all together. I mean, do you see the problem? Okay, so it's a real challenge preaching on pride, because everybody thinks you're saying, I have arrived here, and so you need to become like me. But what I'm actually saying is, I have arrived here, and you really need to become like me. No, what I'm saying to you is that I'm still headed there, but at least I found the destination. At least I've found a principle here.
The second problem with pride is, when you preach about it, is that people tend to go back to their houses still thinking about the message, and then every time they see you, or every time they hear you speak, or every time they hear one of your tapes, they start scrutinizing that thing to see if there's any pride in it. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you listen to very many of my tapes, you very well may hear some pride in there. I told some people recently that sometimes people ask me, Mark, don't you have a little problem with pride there? I said, no, I have a huge problem with pride. It's not a little problem, it's huge. And because I'm smart enough to know that I need to conquer it. And I am headed towards conquering pride. But unfortunately, a lot of people do not understand what true humility is. And therefore, since they don't understand true humility, they think that humility is not just an absence of the wrong kind of pride. They think that humility is the process whereby we absolutely just beat ourselves down into thinking that we're absolutely nothing. And that is wrong. That is not humility. True humility is recognizing who you are and just simply being honest with yourself, acknowledging who you are, acknowledging what your strengths are, and acknowledging what your weaknesses are. I want to share something with you that is not very easy.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Pieces or Dust, which is part of the Spiritual Growth series.
The book of Romans, it tells us that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, He will quicken us. He will make us alive. That kind of power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in you, it will make you alive. Let me tell you something about that power. Some of you may have heard me give this illustration on a tape of another message, but I feel that it bears repeating in this message because it fits so well when we're talking about power. How many of you have ever seen at the hospital what they use when a person dies and they want to shock them back to life? They put these pads on them. They call defibrillators. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Defibrillators. I know a lot about medicine because I watch television. So, when this person dies, they take these, and I don't even know how many volts are going through this thing, man. But they put that on somebody, and what's the last word they say before they punch the juice to it? Clear. You know why they say clear? I talked to a nurse a while back, and she told me that there is so much power flowing through those things when they put them on somebody's chest. There's so much power flowing through them that not only could it start a dead heart, but if you happen to be touching the cotton sheet, look, like, see this little cloth here? If you happen to be touching the sheet, I'm not talking about the bed, I'm not talking about the person, I'm talking about if you touch the sheet that the person's laying on, there's enough electricity running through the sheet to stop your heart. That's why when they say clear, everybody does. Ain't that good? But you know, if I understand correctly, I believe it's like after about a half hour after a person's dead, or 45 minutes, whatever, they put that thing away. Because there's only that brief window of opportunity after their heart stops that they can restart it. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah.
But I want you to imagine a defibrillator so powerful that after a person has been dead for 72 hours, 3 days, their heart stopped beating 3 days ago. Imagine the amount of power that would have to flow through that defibrillator to raise them from the dead and start that heart back to beating. Can you imagine what kind of power that is? Who would hold the pads? No, it's your turn. I mean, when they said clear, entire cities would evacuate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this would be major. The Bible says that when you and I receive the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead after He had been dead for 3 days, that same power flows through us. It's available to us. That's the kind of power we have access to when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want to know if anybody here tonight is power hungry.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Power Hungry, The Power of the Holy Ghost, which is part of the Spiritual Growth series.
That's pretty ridiculous for a guy who the only thing he's ever told anybody was that Jesus is the Christ. Now here he turns around at the end of his life, the end of his ministry, and it seems like he blows it all. It seems like he ruins the whole message he preached all his life. He questions the very thing he's told everybody. Jesus, are you the Christ? Or should we look for another? And he says, here I've given my whole life to this one cause, and I've never seen one bit of productivity come out of it. Jesus, I've told everybody who you are, but I've never heard you say that I was right. I stood next to you when I was baptizing you in the River Jordan, and when you came up out of the water, I saw the heavens open. I saw the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove. I heard God speak out of heaven and say, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I know He said that, but Jesus, I've spent my whole life pointing people to you, and I've never once seen any productivity from that. I've never seen one person accept you. I've never seen you heal one person. I've never heard you preach one sermon. And I just want to know something. I know my life is almost over. I just want to know one thing. Did it work? Is that too much to ask? For me to ask you, Jesus, did it work? Did my life count for anything? Or was it all in vain? Jesus, I just want to hear you say one time, John, it worked.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Rest, Hope, and Mercy, which is part of the Spiritual Growth series.
A paradigm is a mindset. It's a way of processing information. In fact, in his book, Paradigms, The Business of Discovering the Future, Joel Arthur Barker says that a paradigm is a set of rules and regulations, written or unwritten, that does two things. It establishes or defines boundaries, and number two, it tells you how to behave inside the boundaries in order to be successful. We all have paradigms. I was talking to someone the other day about paradigms, and they said, so what I need to do then, since paradigms limit your scope of thought, and since paradigms sort of box you in, they said, maybe what I need to do then is get rid of all of my paradigms. Well, there's no such thing as being paradigm free. You will never be without paradigms. What you will do is you will shift from one paradigm to another paradigm. A paradigm shift is the key. You need to be able to keep up with what's happening around you. And what we have found in the business world is this. We have learned that the businesses who anticipate paradigm shifts, who anticipate changes in thought processes, changes in mindsets, that the businesses who anticipate that change will actually be able to get on the cutting edge ahead of everyone else and will be able to capitalize on the change as it's taking place while everyone else runs behind and tries to catch up or stays behind and refuses to change and goes broke. Because anything that is alive is going to change. And if you're not changing, then you're not growing. And if you're not growing, then you're dead. So the thing that we need to understand is that change is my friend. It's not my enemy. Change is good as long as I can anticipate where the change needs to take place. If I can be on the cutting edge and see where that change needs to go. Think about this. In 1968, if you would have asked anyone, who will be the world leader in watchmaking in 1990?
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled, The Ultimate Paradigm Shift, which is part of the Spiritual Growth Series.
See, there is no substitute for the anointing. Do you know what I said? There is no substitute for the anointing. There's none. There's no trick you can come up with that will do the same job that the anointing of the Holy Spirit does. Only the anointing of the Holy Spirit can take the written Word of God, the Logos that's just ink on a sheet of paper, and make it come to life and speak to your spirit and mean something to you. Before now, you say, I've read that verse 100 times and it never meant a thing to me. And now I just read it again and all of a sudden it came to life. That's the anointing. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 16, He said, there are things that I would like to show you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit has come, He will lead you into all truth. What's He talking about? He said, as you mature, He'll know which parts to make come alive to you. And then after that, then they need this one to come alive to them. And then after that, they need this one to come alive to them. And He only gives it to you as you need it. And as you mature, He causes another verse to come alive to you.
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Understanding the Anointing, which is part of the Spiritual Growth Series.
Do you hear what I'm saying? This is sad, man. This is sad. This is absolutely pitiful that these people did not realize that the potential that was out there. See, you and I, if we are ever going to experience the abundance that is out there for us, we have to stop playing it so safe that we never take a step of faith. Most people never take a risk in their lives because they're trying to play it so safe. But let me explain you something. Everybody wants to win. But what you need to understand is you'll never have a chance at winning until you take a chance at losing. Everybody wants victory, but nobody wants a fight. Did you hear me? Everybody wants a victory, but nobody wants a fight. But I'm here to tell you something. There's no such thing as victory without a fight. To have a chance at being the champion, you have to take a chance at being the loser.
Right.
To have a chance at a miracle, you have to take a chance at a failure. And most people are not willing to do that. Why? Because they think they have too much to lose. What will people think of me? What will who think of you? Well, the people who know. You mean the other people in Samaria?
Is that who you're worried about? You're honestly worried what the rest of the Samaritans are going to think of you if you fail while they're back having lunch and you know what they're eating? You're afraid they won't invite you over to their house for dinner next week? Do you understand that the only people who belittle you when you take a chance and fail, the only people who will look down upon you, the only people who will criticize you, the only people who will put you down are people who can't even see the possibilities that you risk everything to accomplish anyway?
This is an excerpt from the teaching by Mark Gorman titled Walking with Integrity, which is part of the Spiritual Growth series. All of the selections on this CD may be purchased in their entirety. You may do so by visiting the store on our website, markgorman.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you is our prayer.